Coming up next on This Week in Computer Hardware, no new AMD GPUs this year, Raspberry Pi's new camera module, Crysis 3 Live, Iron Man's favorite fan grill, upgrades for the PC that has everything, and more. It's all coming up next on Twitch.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twitch.
Bandwidth for Twitch is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware, episode 205, recorded February 14th, 2013. Upgrades for the PC that has everything.
This episode of This Week in Computer Hardware is brought to you by Lantronics, maker of the X Print Server. Print from your iPad, iPhone, or any iOS device to virtually any printer. For more information, visit xprintserver.com/twit and enter coupon code TWIT to receive free shipping on your order.
Welcome to Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware. I'm your host, Patrick Norton, joined by the man, the myth. Well, I'm not going to call him a myth. I will call him a benchmarking legend. He's building benchmarks himself right now. Mr. Ryan Schrapp from PCPer.com. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing good. We are extremely busy, but I guess there are worse alternatives than that. Everything seems to be functioning correctly, though. We spent. It's really kind of a dangerous time for me. We spent, I don't know, 8 months to a year like developing these ideas, and now it's like, okay, now you've got 4 days to get it all and put together an article based on it, ready to go, and. It's kind of fighting with all that, so.
So basically, benchmarks are being benchmarks.
Yes.
Benchmarks, of course, are important here at Twitch, This Week in Computer Hardware, because Ryan tests hardware for a living. I help him talk to you about it every week on the show, and we want you to have the best information possible when you're buying computer parts, a new computer, a tablet, or figuring out what direction you're going to take your hardware in your home, because, hey, we like saving money, and if you want to spend all the money, we can help you do that too, which brings us to something free for a change. There's the Crysis 3 live game stream, win free stuff. I sense PCPer.com is rocking a giveaway, Ryan.
Yes, so on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, Crysis 3 launches in the U.S. I think it's various times throughout, different times in Asia and Europe, but that's the day it launches in the United States, North America. And we are having an event to celebrate. We're going to have a live game stream, which we've done for some other game launches over the past couple of months or so. And, you know, Crysis 3 is going to be a game that pushes systems as hard or harder than any other game out there, any other benchmark out there. And as a hardware guy, that's what you look for. That's what you kind of plan for. That's what all your work is going into, right? If everybody only played Minecraft or only played World of Warcraft, benchmarking graphics cards would be easy. There would be a checkbox. Right. Does it play World of Warcraft? Yes, move on. but we plan for these types of things that are incredibly impressive looking. And we want to make sure that, you know, we have good hardware to show all that to you. So we're doing a game stream for it. Yeah, we want it to work. You want it to function correctly, but then you want to know what's the best hardware I can get in my price range and play that game. Now, if you go to the – if you watch the game stream on Tuesday, we're holding it at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the 19th. We're going to give away some games, give away some hardware. We've got a pair of the HD 7970 cards from Power Color we're going to give out. And then I think each of those will come with Crysis 3 and BioShock Infinite. And then – And then we'll also give away at least 4 sets of keys that give you both Crysis 3 and BioShock Infinite. So we're gonna have some fun. It's sponsored by AMD. We're gonna have Robert Halleck from AMD on there with us. We'll do some gaming together, some co-op action, and that kind of stuff. And really, I try to do these because, you know, we try to promote the DIY. We try to promote PC gaming. We want to show you guys why it's interesting and why it's impressive. And if we can, you know, do that by playing Crysis 3 on high settings for an hour on a live stream at a high bit rate and everybody gets to see how cool that looks, then I think that's right up our alley, and that's what we're trying to do.
It's always exciting when you see something. I saw a demo recently, and it was just amazing. And all I could think was, it's time to upgrade my GPU. because my GPU, I won't even say the name of my GPU on air right now because you know I can see you. You will have this look. Ryan will have this look of abject horror and oh God, I have to. You know what I mean? Because like all you'll be, I'll be able to hear the words in your head. Well, he's got children. He's got to feed the children before he can buy new GPUs.
Making excuses for you. Was that what it is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He fed his children first, the fool. Weird news. Usually, like, one of our running jokes here is the world's fastest GPU this week. But instead, we got some, in some ways, I'm excited about this. I'm a little disheartened by this. But, you know, Ryan, you wrote this up. AMD plans no new graphics cards in 2013. Is this rumor? Is this fact? What's going on here?
It is a mix of both, right? So it's the interesting thing is I have a meeting with AMD tomorrow. I think they're going to talk about this particular plan or direction they're in. So this slide was presented by AMD to press and media in Asia. It wasn't presented over here in North America, but there's one very important slide where you look at it and it shows 7900, 7800, 7700 right. graphics cards. It says stable throughout 2013. And the arrows technically go through the end of Q3 2013. And it's just one slide and maybe they're being vague and maybe we're reading too much into it. But a lot of people are seeing that slide as, hey, you know what? This may indicate that there are not going to be a new release of discrete Radeon graphics cards throughout the entirety of 2013, which is, you know, disheartening, I think, not only to me, but to a lot of people, because we're pretty early in 2013. And if you think back, our first article on the Radeon HD 7970 came out in December of 2011. So the 7970 actually launched not last year, but the year before. It ended up being on sale in January 2012. But so it's, you know, technically 13 months old, 14 months old at this point. Still a good card, and they've done a refresh with the gigahertz edition and that kind of thing. But think about it. We never saw the HD 7990 officially from AMD. We've seen some partners come up with some interesting products. Mm-hmm. We saw the gigahertz edition, which is like 100 megahertz increase in clock speed. And other than that, they haven't really done much on the hardware side to push things forward. Luckily, what has happened is prices have come down. And that's always good.
Prices going down is good. So this may simplify GPU selection later this year. Is that a fair statement?
It may. And what's interesting is NVIDIA may have the same plan. They may have, there are a lot of rumors about a high-end card that's going to come out, a super high-end card. But we don't know anything, and we haven't even seen rumors of release dates for mainstream products and regular enthusiast level products from them either. So it's possible that maybe through the first half of the year and beyond that, you know, we're going to be happy with they want us to be happy with what we have they'll be happy at the prices they're at.
I don't know if it's so much that they want us to be happy, but the simple fact that the vast majority of gamers are running 1080p monitors and they just don't need high-end horsepower in a lot of cases. It seems like the entire community is playing catch-up with GPUs. Monitors that aren't particularly high resolution and GPUs have been around for a long time. But it will be interesting to watch. Also interesting to watch, last week we were torturing Ryan, and as a result of our torturing, the chat room and I convinced him to buy a Raspberry Pi. And lo and behold, we see a story just the next week. There's your Raspberry Pi box. Have you booted it yet? Have you been rocking the OS on it?
No, I haven't done any of that stuff yet.
Is it because it's
in a nice, pretty clear case, though?
It is a nice, pretty clear case. Tell you what, next week we'll have the video up for our we've done actually sort of XBMC, RaspBMC, OpenElect, XBMC. I'm actually working on turning it into a functioning AirPlay device and getting a better remote control running for it. It's really cool, actually. Nice. Turn this like $35 box into a fairly high quality streaming device, a set-top box you can attach to your your HDTV. And this is interesting. Tim wrote this up. Tim Very wrote this up for PC Perspective. A 5-megapixel camera module. Quote, the Raspberry Pi Foundation has been working on offering a camera attachment for Raspberry Pi boards for some time now. This has me excited because now I want to build my own camera out of a Raspberry Pi board. The developers began with a 41-megapixel sensor, but have since moved to a smaller and cheaper camera with a 5-megapixel sensor. That seems somewhat more affordable. That particular model is nearly complete and should be available for purchase sometime this spring, according to the developers. So this is pretty crazy. I mean, there's a post up on the Raspberry Pi, raspberrypi.org website. There's a link to it from the PC Per article. The Model A has just been unboxed. It's the new sort of less expensive, tuned down version of the Raspberry Pi board, the open source ARM board that runs Linux. And so there's a camera module sneak peek on that web page. So essentially, it's a camera module on a ribbon cable. Hey, look at that, kids.
It's not technological, just like the Raspberry Pi in general. It's not technologically innovative, but what it does is it enables all kinds of cool, unique DIY things. You want to use it to set up a surveillance system in your house or something like that? You can do that, right? You hook up your camera and you have applications that take advantage of that under the Linux operating system and, you know, do whatever. I don't think it's something you'd want to try to build a camera with you and take a Raspberry Pi and snap a shot with it necessarily, although it is the right form factor for that in this case if you wanted to do that. It's pretty interesting stuff. What was intriguing to me when I got this in this week, this actually ironically the same day as a triple SLI computer that probably cost $7,000. And they're both fully functioning computers to an extent, right? But one of them, and they're both DIY systems, which I thought was really unique when you think about it, right? One happens to be $7,000 and one happens to be $25,000.
Right. And it's funny, but if you think about it, okay, the Raspberry Pi board is not going to do multi-monitor, high-end, first-person, shooters or, sophisticated 3D graphics, but it'll play video. You can do your homework on it. You can run Linux applications on it. You could run a business on it if you were patient. It's not a high-speed computer, but it's a completely functional computer on a single inexpensive board. And that's, that little piece of hardware there that sells for $35 would be more powerful than the computers we would have had, several years ago. Ryan's like, I ain't buying it. Where's Doom? It's not real until there's Doom and Angry Birds.
Well, they did put Minecraft on it, right? So
that's true.
Well, you got something.
Minecraft, that could be one of the running jokes for a while in HD Nation was it's not a real platform if it's not playing Angry Birds. But I'll take Minecraft over Angry Birds.
Yes.
And for no other reason than if I hear one more time from the backseat of my car, I will weep on my next road trip. So in other hardware-related news, NVIDIA's bundling credits for free to play games. What's going on? Is this like Steam credits or what madness has NVIDIA got itself into now?
It's more like the free-to-play game mechanic that I'm sure you're familiar with and most of our listeners and viewers are, is they give you a game for free, but then you buy upgrades. You buy newer weapons. You buy newer aesthetics. You buy, the joke is always you can buy new hats for your character like you can in Team Fortress. and while AMD, we talked about this last week or the week before where they had their new Never Settle Reloaded bundle where they're using Crysis 3, Bioshock Infinite, and Tomb Raider for pack-ins for Radeon 7000 series cards this quarter and probably, at least the first half of the year. NVIDIA is going, it's a very different route. So they're saying, we'll let them have these AAA titles, and what we'll do is we'll try to get gamers interested in our products by offering you $50 in credit that you can spend on World of Tanks, you can spend on Hawken, and you can spend on Planetside 2. $50 each. Up, so you get $150 total credit if you buy 660 or above card. And I think a lot of people, and maybe a lot of our audience, kind of look down on these free-to-play titles, but they're massive in terms of actual user base. And some of them, like Planetside 2, we've played after a couple of our podcasts at PC Per. Right. they're pretty GPU intensive games, and they actually look really good. When you, a lot of times you think of free to play, you're thinking, you know, not super high quality effects, not super high quality graphics or audio, or, you know, something kind of, you feel like you have to lose something to not have to pay $50 to play it. Well, in reality, so Hawk and PlanetSide 2 in particular are very good looking and demanding games. And so a lot of people, when they find out that, hey, you know what, I already played PlanetSide 2 and I'm running, you know, a GTX 200 series card or 9800 GT or something like that. Okay, right. You know what, if I can buy a $300 or $199, $240 GTX 660 and I get $150 in credit to some of these games I may or may not play, you know, give right. it a shot. Same idea as, you know, the pack-in bundle pack-ins in general. I'm just very curious what the response will be to this. If the free-to-play group is the ones that like to upgrade their systems or not. You know, you kind of have a stigma attached. If you're playing free-to-play games, you're not usually spending a lot of money on your PC gaming experience in general.
Right.
But, you know, that doesn't include everybody. So it'll be interesting to see how people kind of respond to this promotion.
Why you got to be a hater, Ryan?
I'm just saying. You know, we asked for feedback in our thread there. And the majority of the comments are AMD's bundles look better, right? That's what I would choose. If I was buying a card today, I would lean towards getting Crysis 3 and Tomb Raider or Crysis 3 and BioShock versus $150 in credit towards these other games. But we'll see.
Yeah, I think we definitely will. It's always interesting to watch. One last piece of hardware news before we go. Intel has, quote, officially, unquote, jumped into the TV or set-top box business. The sort of like one-line summary on this is chipmaker Intel has confirmed that it is working on hardware to stream live and on-demand content to televisions in 2013. Not too long ago, that was the rumor. Intel's building a TV or set-top box, or they're bankrolling a virtual cable network to compete with real cable networks to deliver premium content to end users, and Intel was not saying squat. Jeremy Hellstrom kind of wrote up a summary of a whole bunch of articles talking about this on PCPer.com. And the Inquirer got confirmation that Intel will release hardware to compete with Apple and Google before the end of the year, but they would not specify exactly what that hardware will be. And what's really interesting is what's going to make them different from Netflix or Vudu or Amazon Prime or iTunes or Google Play, or I could go on, because negotiating content deals is kind of what's going to make platforms succeed in the future. When I say platforms, could be Netflix, could be iTunes, could be Apple TV, you know, could be Samsung software. It's kind of a big mess because, you know, people are competing against each other at the same time they're enabling each other when you're looking at hardware and software vendors. But, quote, Intel's going to offer live TV streams, which will probably not make them popular with established cable or satellite providers. But with Intel's deep pockets and the possibility of personalized advertising, they could well steal customers away. And that's been kind of the big issue. Cable cutting gets a lot of coverage. The idea, like, I am a cable cutter. I have not had cable or satellite for years. I am happy with it. I also don't need ESPN in my life. So,
yeah, see, I do need that.
If they throw the money at it, they could create themselves what some people are calling a virtual cable network and compete with the Comcast and the Charters and the Time Warners of the world. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what this turns into. Because it's either going to be amazing or it's just going to be one of those things that happens and everybody ignores. For example,
I do wonder if there is the possibility that they have some kind of hardware solution as well to it. Remember all the TV tuner cards you had and, cable cards and all kinds of stuff. Maybe they actually have a way to get those companies involved and not cut them out.
This is the breath I am not holding. Because it's the thing that a lot of people ignore, because there's a lot of people who cover tech who are like, the cables are cut, no one's going back, we're all moving to the internet. And what they fail to realize when they say that is the vast majority of cable cutting is usually based on like 1 month numbers or short, like, oh, cable lost 24,000 people that year. Well, yeah, they you know, the cycles go up and down, but overall the numbers are staying level, in many cases growing, and mostly cable companies, big cable companies are making, are still making money hand over fist, billions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Comcast just decided to buy the others, the last $16 billion worth of NBC Universal from General Electric. This is not something that's being done by a company that is strapped for cash and having difficulties. You know, they may be doing this as part of keeping themselves alive and vibrant for another, you know, 25 years. But I think it's going to be really interesting to see what Intel does. I would be deeply fascinated, you know, if they did, you know, maybe they will do something with Comcast. Maybe they have to do something with Comcast because of the properties Comcast owns, like NBC Universal. It's messy because so much of this is about money and lawyers and not about technology. The technology to deliver this stuff is for the most part there. You know, this also could be maybe Comcast. Once Comcast decides it can make more money off of shipping more bits into more houses, they'll be more willing to let those bits pass.
It's nice to dream.
To dream the impossible dream. Can we drop one last thing in before we go? Just to upset, because I haven't. Let me see if I can pull it up here. Oh, where did it go? Where did it go? Where did it go? Did you see the overkill fan grills that I posted?
Yes, you sent me that email, right?
Let me drop it in so we can share it, so Burt can share it with everyone. That gnashing, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing is the gnashing of Burke's teeth, our beloved producer, who is now desperately trying to pull up this web page I just mentioned. MNPCtech.com is the website. They're a great place to look for mods and ideas. But they've come up. They have these insane, like CNC milled aluminum fan grills, 120 millimeter fan grills. And I am in love with the Arc Reactor 120 millimeter fan grill. It's a half inch thick aluminum. And I now have, in my head, I'm building an entire PC build around my own mock arc reactor so I can get my Iron Man on in my house.
That's pretty awesome. Was it $50? Is that what you're looking at there?
$50. $40 for the clear cast acrylic version. $50 for the aluminum CNC milled version. Well, I assume is CNC milled version.
And of course, what color LED fan do you need behind that then?
Sort of a whitish bluish one. Okay. Very whitish bluish one.
All right.
So
I like it. Bonus, they got a lot of cool stuff there.
They have a lot of shiny, pretty stuff. I enjoy. I follow them on Twitter, and every so often I see something and go, "Oh, it's the pretties." Veronica Belmont's on. Oh my goodness! We should take a moment to thank our sponsor this week, Lantronics. Do you want to talk about XPrint server, Mr. Stroud?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, whether or not you are looking to print from your iOS device at your home or your office, it can sometimes be a challenge. It can be annoying. It can be frustrating. You have to have a specific printer that supports AirPrint, or you have to have these other applications or these other services involved. Maybe you use HP ePrint or something like that. And all you want to do is you're browsing on something on your phone or your iPad, and you go, oh, you know what? It would be great to print this out and save it for later, or print it out and take it with me. You can't do it. You could go buy a new printer. You could do that, but they have a better option out there, and that is the XPrint server from Lantronics. This enables wireless printing from your iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch. It eliminates the need to print through those apps, install software, email yourself documents for printing, and it works with the USB or network printer that you already own, whether it's wired or wireless. You can print directly from the iOS native menu, no apps to buy or software to load. Supports more than 4,000 top brand network printers. It's easy to use. You basically just plug it into your network. You plug it into the wall, obviously it needs power, and then you plug in, if you have a USB printer, you plug it into the USB port on the device, and you open it, plug it in, and literally within like 30 seconds, you can start printing. That's what we did here when we installed it. It has advanced configurations options if you need to get into that kind of stuff. They're like through a pretty handy web interface on there. And one XPrint server supports multiple printers and virtually unlimited iOS devices. The home edition is $99. It supports up to 8 USB printers and 2 network printers. The network edition is $150 and supports unlimited network printers. It's good for your home or office, and as kind of a side bonus, it allows your USB printers to be shared with all users over the network. So if you have a USB printer plugged into one PC at your house now, you plug it into the Lantronics device, the XPrint server, and it acts as kind of a print server as well. So all the other PCs on your network can use them, as well as your iOS devices. So you want to learn more about this. You want to pick one up for yourself. Here's what you do. You go to xprintserver.com/twit. You can get more information there and links and information about how to go about buying one of these. And of course, you're listening to This Week in Computer Hardware. We have a special offer for you. If you use the coupon code TWIT, T-W-I-T, when you check out, you receive free shipping on your order. So that's xprintserver.com/twit. And at checkout code, use coupon code. I'm sorry, at checkout, use coupon code TWIT. And we thank Lantronics for their support of This Week in Computer Hardware.
Lantronics, thank you so much. It is a nice piece of hardware, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. And I'm not just saying that because they're paying the bills. I'm saying that because it actually works. I like it when things work out of the box. We got an email from Judd about a Mac Pro power supply. He says, hey, guys, quick question. I have an early Mac Pro that seems to have a power supply that crapped out on it. It won't power up. A replacement power supply from the various Mac parts stores has it listed for about $300. $300? Ouch. All caps by Judd. Do you have support. Any suggestions where I might be able to find it a bit cheaper, maybe half that price or lower? Is there another alternative? It doesn't have to be pretty. I just like it to run.
He didn't really say what Mac Pro he had, which was a little bit of an issue. Right. And to be completely honest with you, I had no idea what I was going to be looking at when I looked for a Mac Pro power supply. But I had a pretty good idea that it was not going to be a default ATX power supply. And based on that link that I put there with the question at the bottom of it, you can see these $300 power supplies, late 2006, early 2007, you know, that's kind of how they're priced. They're not your standard power supply. They have some standard connections, but they have some non-standard connections, and they definitely are not the same size and form factor. So I was hoping we'd be able to recommend using a standard ATX power supply. You could get way less than $300, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Do you know of any? I mean, is this something where maybe you start looking on eBay for somebody who's salvaged a system, and they say, "Well, here's a power supply, and here's some memory that works, but the processors were dead, or something like that."
Yeah, I mean, eBay, Craigslist. If Craigslist is popular in your area, you know, I was looking. I was wondering, like, there's part of me, it's like, boy, if you're feeling crazy, you know, it's the main board connector is, you know, I don't have any old Mac Pros to rip open around here, and we don't know what year it is anyway, but I was trying to remember whether or not the power connectors for the MacBook Pro power supplies are even remotely close to the ones used on an ATX motherboard. You know, because that's where it gets, I've heard of people doing like Hackintosh mods on existing Mac Pro cases, like figuring out how to stuff the ATX guts inside of one of those power supplies. So, you know, the problem is if you want the power supply to work the way it's supposed to work, you really need to get one that fits. And there's part of me that's wondering if you could buy a, you know, 4 or 5 year old MacBook Pro, or excuse me, a Mac Pro power supply as a complete Mac Pro that somebody's dumping because they're no longer using that particular version of OS X and the older CPU because they've upgraded. It might be cheaper to buy an entire Mac Pro than to buy the power supply. It might also be that just a lot of people are upgrading around here. Case in point, the police are not chasing a Mac Pro thief.
That is what, I thought it was a fire truck. That's what happens when you incorrectly try to mod an ATX power supply.
The Apple system. Police come.
I looked at some of these forums where they talk about it, and there are some, if you want to be handy about it, you can basically start matching up 12-volt line to 3-volt line to 5-volt line and make your own adapter, solder these cables together and hope that it works. I'm not sure, you know, that it's necessarily worth that risk. If it's a device that you still plan on using and you're not looking to, like, maybe potentially upgrade, and if it doesn't work, you can move on with your life. Maybe spending that $300 would be in your best interest to do. Yeah.
You know, it's this is one of those things. It's unfortunate, right? Because the volume of Mac Pros is considerably lower than the volume of ATX, traditional sort of ATX cases. Therefore, the super cool custom power supplies that fit inside the Mac Pro cases, there's a smaller pool of them. Therefore, they are more expensive. It's one of them crazy supply and demand things. You know, it's interesting. Like, you know, and then you read some stuff like, here we go. Let me start by saying I've moved a Silverstone PSU into a Mac Pro PSU cage and everything is working perfectly. This is therefore not a super serious functionality question. You know, it's like, it's funny. People do some pretty crazy stuff if they take the time to do it. If you're the kind of person that's comfortable with, you know, modifying a power supply and attempting to sort of make it work. And it's, this means you'll also need to verify that it's not running any strange voltages that aren't available on a traditional ATX power supply. Right. You know, because there's like, you know, there's not a whole lot of people out there going, yeah, I did this. I'm sorry that we do not have more chipper news for you, Judd. Because, you know, I much prefer to say all you need to do is cut a hole in the back of the case and stuff an ATX power supply in there. But, yeah, if you have any suggestions, by the way, we'd love to hear them. Because you have solved perhaps for less money or by stuffing an ATX power supply in the back of your Mac Pro, email us Twitch, TWICH at twit.tv is the email address. Russ has a note, a notice, an update, a thought about the Raspberry Pi and XBMC. It says OpenELEC was created as a stripped-down version of Linux with its only purpose and packages set to run XBMC on a lower-powered or specific hardware. They have had Intel and AMD builds much longer than they have had builds for the Raspberry Pi. I have an Acer Revo with an NVIDIA Ion, an Intel Atom that I use with OpenELEC, and have since Eden version 11 came out. It allows me to run some skins that used to cause slowdowns and such without issue, as well as it is tuned for my CPU and GPU with very little extra running in the background. Just a second note, OpenELEC has its own repository in XBMC as it uses XBMC as its GUI that allows you to expand the functionality of your device without bloating out the install for those who do not want it. So for those of you in the audience who are not particularly familiar with XBMC or with Linux distros, essentially there are customized Linux distros that instead of being like, I'm an operating system with a desktop, take a look at me, open up a web browser or perhaps something to edit your favorite Word documents with. Essentially what RaspBMC and OpenELEC, they basically customize a Linux distro and operating system so that when you boot it, you get this cool graphical interface for XBMC. So you can go to your photos, your videos, things you've created, stuff you stored locally, stuff online. And OpenELEC is a very popular alternative to the, I feel like RaspBMC has a higher profile within the Raspberry Pi community. OpenELEC has been around longer and on more platforms. So it's something for you to experiment with. We've been running both. And in terms of performance, when we're looking at stuff, we haven't found anything. And maybe because we just haven't played the right, you know, video or audio. But so far, we haven't found anything that makes one particularly stand out more than the other. But they both work very, very well.
Good.
Chet has the upgrade sickness. He says, I'm a very active, this sounds expensive. I'm a very active PC gamer. I play pretty much everything. Guild Wars 2, Far Cry 3, Borderlands 2, Skyrim, Star Wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I pretty much jump at anything that is on sale on Steam. Did I mention this was getting expensive? Here's my current bill. This is a gaming-only system. I have a NAS server and other media PCs around the house, but this is for gaming only. It's got a Core i7-2600K, NZXT Havoc 140 CPU cooler, an Asus Maximus 4 Extreme Z EATX motherboard, 4 gigs of G-Skills Ripjaws DDR3 1600, an OCZ Agility 3 120 gigabyte SSD, UEGA GeForce GTX 680 times 2 because he's running them in SLI. Stuffed inside of an NZXT Phantom, ATX full tower, 1,000-watt power supply from NZXT, 27-inch Samsung, plus 3 other 24-inch monitors. He runs all his games at 2560 by 1440 and at the highest quality I can. Running Windows 7, 64 bits of CPU and video cards are overclocked, but very mild overclocked, 4.2 gigahertz on the CPU, up from a stock 3.4 gigahertz, and about 1,018 megahertz on both video cards. Everything I have runs great, and all my games run without any issues, but I think I have the hardware upgrade sickness, and I am always looking for something to update. Right now, I only see a few options. I can tell this man does not have children, or he has a much better job than I do. One, CPU from my current i7-2600K to an i7-3770K. I believe that will still work on my motherboard. Two, SSD, the current Agility 3 to a Vertex 4, 256GB, and reinstall Windows. So what do you guys think? Any other options for me?
I think this guy just likes to brag.
You know, I'm thinking one, three high-resolution 27-inch flat panels, which might cause him to need to add a third card in SLI to power all those additional pixels. I'm thinking 4GB is a nice start for video gaming, but going to 8, 12, 16, or 32GB.
Actually, he has 4 4-gig modules, so he has 16 already.
I missed that little parenthetical at the end. Yeah, you don't need any more memory. Look, if you want to spend, if you'd like to send that hard drive, that sad little SSD you've got in there, that silly little OCZ Agility 3, 120GB, send that to Patrick Norton, care of Twit in Petaluma, California. And I would totally suggest upgrading to a Vertex 4 at that point. I got to be perfectly honest with you. You do not need, unless A, like you grab two more, you know, dump the 24-inch monitors and go with a couple of 27-inch flat panels. I still think you're going to have more than enough GPU power to feed that. But maybe that'll give you an excuse to buy some 690s and run like three or four of them instead of your mere dual SLI.
Right.
Do you have a surround sound system? Do you have decent audio? You know, would you like to upgrade to a better keyboard or gaming? You can spend hundreds of dollars on peripherals and thousands and thousands of dollars on high-end audio. You don't need it. But a lot of people love surround sound gaming. Do you have a decent gaming headset? Do you have a wireless headset? If you need space, man, the Vertex 4, go for it. I'm tempted to tell you to buy a couple more 27-inch monitors because I'm obsessed, and the idea of someone having like two more of those on their desktop just because they can makes me happy. So does, you know, planting trees and you know, saving dolphins, but so does having more monitors because I'm sick that way. Lots of options, you know. Take a look at your peripherals. Take a look at some of the alternative peripherals that are coming out. If you want to, you know, the I want to say Leapfrog for some reason, but that's not the right name.
no, that would be kids' child computing devices.
The thing with the fingers and the movements.
I can't remember what that was either.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That's an awesome setup.
You're golden.
Going from the 2600K to the 3770 is not going to be.
Don't bother.
Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that. I like the accessories idea. I like the check out your keyboard, check out your mouse that you've got sitting in front of you, check out your headset that you put on your head or speakers that you got around you and see if maybe those are the things that are lacking. You're already playing at 2560 by 1440, and unless you're gonna triple up like Patrick was saying, then that's awesome. That's where you're at. So
yeah, but I would definitely start looking at headsets, or if you're, you know, if you can play games loudly, then putting a full 5.1 system in your gaming room, man, you know, a nice Denon AV receiver and a good set of speakers will just freaking rock that place. And then you can invite people over to sit next to you at your gaming machine on movie night.
Nice. What do you think? One more email before we go.
Alan's got a question about.
There you go.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Alan got a question about using monitors for dual purposes. He said, I have dual monitors hooked up to my desktop by way of 2X DVI. I like to get a Dell replicator for my work laptop and also use those same monitors. When I have to work from home, just using the laptop screen is a pain when doing IT support because it's so small and you have to have so many windows open. How can I use my existing monitors without unplugging them from my desktop? Would I need to run 2X KVM switches, or is there a single hardware solution I can pick up? Ideally, I would prefer the cheaper option. Additional information, the monitor has one DVI, one VGA, and one HDMI. The monitor 2 has DVI and VGA. Both monitors are hooked up to my Asus 660 Ti via DVI. So would the easiest thing to be just using the VGA for the notebook if the Dell replicator has VGA ports? Two VGA ports? It's so tough.
Yeah. So the issue for me is for my use case, if I was doing that, I would want it to be a very quick, easy process. Right. I think the quickest process is going to be the KVM. but you're going to have to get two of them. I don't, you know, there might be KVMs that support dual monitors, but those are going to be really, really high end. Whereas you can get two cheap KVMs that'll support single monitors each, and then you can just use them for that. You could also just use the inputs on the TV or on the TV, on the monitors and change them. But sometimes cycling between them is not really fast, and sometimes, you know, maybe it's not an easy OSD on-screen display thing to do, and there's not a simple button to do it or something like that. But that is free-ish, right? You just got to get the extra cables that you're going to need.
It's funny because if you look around, like dual head video functionality, IO Gear's dual view KVMP switch, it's like $200.
Yeah.
One dual monitor console controls two dual monitor computers. 4-port dual view. Yeah.
I think you can, I mean, for probably $40, you can get KVM. And even, you know, keep an eye out for some that use PS2 ports that may be really cheap. If you're not using it for a keyboard or mouse at all, you don't need any USB devices. And you can just get them to switch DVI connections on the. And if you're not doing dual link, if they're. Did he mention what resolution the displays were or anything? Not
he
really.
Did not.
But if they're just 19 by 10 or 19 by 12, you don't have to worry about getting a dual link connection on it, which would be more expensive as well. So yeah, that's what I would do. Is I would probably look for KVMs for under $40 that you can just set it down, plug it in, and hit two buttons at the same time, and the monitors will just get new inputs that way.
Yeah, it's funny because like dual view mini DisplayPort console monitors. It's funny, like I'm now digging around the IO Gear website. Like, did I miss something? It's interesting. Do us a favor.
We got a lot of stuff.
If you have found an affordable and inexpensive, or just anyone that actually works a KVM, a keyboard video mouse, USB audio, you know, there's so many different sort of variations on that theme switch. We'd love to hear about it. You can email us twitch@twit.tv. Ryan and I both get that. If you want to talk to us on the Twitters, @RyanShroud or @PatrickNorton is the best way to do it. And I want to mention, if this is your first time listening to Twitch This Week in Computer Hardware, if you'd like to listen to more, do us a favor, head over to twit.tv/Twitch, where you can find all of our previous podcasts talking about computer hardware and tablets and GPUs and parts and all the joy that is involved in everything from networking to making your CPU clock faster. Up at twit.tv/Twitch. And of course, you can find the links to subscribe and download those shows to make sure you get them each and every week. So, yeah. KVM dual monitor switching KVM.
Still looking around at that, huh? Trying to find something.
What's coming up on PC Purr this week, Mr. I'm building my new benchmarks of joy?
So that will be coming up this week on PC Purr. We have our game stream on Tuesday, of course, for Crysis 3. We're giving away some video cards, give away some games. I'm gonna take some of your advice and try out some of this Raspberry Pi stuff and kind of see what we can actually do with it. And we also have a couple motherboards coming up now. We're in a little bit of a lull in terms of CPU motherboard platforms. Right. It'll be picking up again as we get towards the middle of the year. But then obviously probably by the time we talk next week, there will be graphics cards and stuff that we need to talk about.
Graphics cards and stuff.
Stuff. I don't know. Some stuff.
Oh man, we had it's funny on the show that went live today on Techzilla. Nan joined us to talk about the Microsoft Surface Pro and his experience benchmarking and testing that. We've got a collection of power supplies, affordable power supplies for a viewer that needs to upgrade. We talked about our part three of our laptop upgrade series. We talked about, you know, should you upgrade your laptop, what you should upgrade first, talking about memory and SSDs and other options. And Robert Herron did the ultimate operating system update guide in the episode of Techzilla that went up today. And it's been funny. Also, we talked about MHL, the mobile high definition link that allows you to power HDTVs from your cell phone, which is really freaking cool. And I wish I had an easier way of doing that with my iPhone. And then on Tuesday, Veronica actually has this amazing story talking about like cookies and figuring out who's tracking you online and how to stop people from tracking you and when you really don't need to bother, when it's a good idea and when it's overkill and what it really means. And that was a really, really fun one for us. We got some stuff on Dropbox. It's interesting when you start using Dropbox and trying to encrypt files. That's pretty easy from a desktop or a laptop. But when you try to do that with your mobile devices, things get a little more complicated. So,
yeah.
All that and more coming up on Techzilla. So I'm going to say that's about it for this edition. Oh, and I should point out that you will actually be on Techzilla next Thursday, which we're recording on Wednesday. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. Right. Exciting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Perhaps we'll have a Raspberry Pi report.
Maybe we will.
I think you're going to give away all this high-end multi GPU gaming and get yourself into some good, solid, open source.
Really dive down into it, yeah.
Get that whole fiber of computer going. I can feel you embracing it right now. Does it have Steam yet? No. What is it again?
Get rid of it. I don't even need to see it then.
That's it for this edition of Twitch This Week in Computer Hardware. I'm Patrick Norton.
I'm Ryan Schrupp.
We'll see you next week on Twitch.